This is Simon Aronowitz, editor of ThoughtCrimeNews.com, bringing you an exclusive interview with Gene Parker of Radio for Peace International. For more information on this and other stories, come to our website at ThoughtCrimeNews.com.
It's Friday the 8th of August 2003. I'm speaking with Gene Parker, who is a member of the board of directors for Radio for Peace International. Gene, I understand there's some problems going on with the radio station right now.
Indeed there are. Yes.
First of all, perhaps you'd like to tell us where the radio station is and what it does.
Radio for Peace International is located in Costa Rica, and it's the only shortwave radio station that broadcasts the message of peace and justice and reconciliation across the world. It's a shortwave station, and so we potentially reach the entire globe. We've received reception reports from about 120 countries over the years. We've been in operation since 1987, and our actual location is on the grounds of the University for Peace, which is located outside of San Jose, which is the capital of Costa Rica, in a community called El Rodeo.
Okay, and what sort of activities does the university get up to? What's their sort of curriculum?
Well, that's been a bit of a mystery over the years. The university, as we understand it, was established around 1980 or 1981 by a mandate from the United Nations, and its purposes, as I understand it, was to provide an academic curriculum in peace studies and related subjects, so, some seminars and academic degrees. We have had degree programs over the years. And but on the whole, it's been a bit mysterious, particularly with this last administration, which assumed power about 2 years ago.
Right,
then. 2.5 years ago.
Who heads up that administration then at the moment?
A man named Maurice Strong, and then he has a rector, and I believe it's a vice rector. I'm not sure all the titles and. All of the titles that they use. Mr. Van Heer from Holland, from the Netherlands, and a man named Martin Lees. Those are the two people that we primarily deal with at this moment, plus their attorneys, of course.
Always attorneys.
Right.
They seem to rule the world, some people think.
They're usually the only ones that win.
Right. Now, you're currently having problems with the radio station. I understand it's that the people have been evicted and that the station's been shut down.
Well, we're not having problems with the station per se. What we're having problems with is the university. The radio, just to give you a little bit of history, the radio station was invited by the University for Peace to establish its operations on the campus of the University for Peace. This was in 1987. Radio for Peace International has been on the air for 16 years. And so there have been five previous administrations that we've worked with, and relations have always been amicable, always been courteous, and no real problems. And with the current administration, that has not been the case. The current administration and the staff that it has appointed have become, in fact, very hostile to us. The problems began soon after this administration assumed power in the form of some, I suppose you would say, minor harassment, hostilities. We have an Institute for Progressive Communications, which is our educational arm, and we teach peace journalism to journalists and people who are interested in making a study of how to report.
Now, you yourself have been involved in journalism, haven't you? You're a producer, and you've worked for the BBC, amongst other organizations, in the past. Is that right?
I've contributed to the BBC. I haven't worked for the BBC.
Okay, but yeah. But you've worked for big organizations, media organizations the world over in the past.
Yeah, I've filed stories for a lot of different organizations. I currently work as an independent producer, and I file stories for a number of different organizations.
And you've been involved yourself with the radio station for how long?
Since about 1995. I began as a listener, and eventually I was asked to be on the board of advisors, which is a larger group of people who provide guidance, financial assistance, advice to the station, and eventually became a member of the board of directors. But then in between that time, I have produced programs for Radio for Peace and done some live radio also for Radio for Peace. I was actually a student at the Institute for Progressive Communications in 1997, I think it was, and then later became a member of the faculty. And so that's one of my functions right now, is to teach broadcast voice and also concepts of alternative journalism and interviewing skills is what I do there now. Getting back to the relationship, though, with the university, the harassment that began had to do with things like our students have gotten transport on the university bus for years and years and years, and so the university said, "Well, we can't do that anymore." And there was no capacity problem. The bus would pass us with two people in it or something, and so clearly that wasn't motivated by any logistical problem that they might have with providing transportation to our students.
No, there was a past history of a lot of cooperation between the university and the Radio for Peace International.
Oh yeah, that's right. Yeah,
institutional cooperation at the highest levels.
Definitely, yeah. I mean, they invited us to establish the radio station on their campus.
And if I understand correctly, the Radio for Peace International actually owns all the facilities that it broadcasts from, both
That's
the buildings
correct.
And the antenna and all the transmitters, all the radio and sound equipment.
That's correct.
And
so we have built those facilities and those structures, and we own them. In fact, our chief engineer, who is James Latham, is now the general manager of the station, built those transmitters himself. Those were not purchased. They were built himself. He built those himself.
So this really is basically it's an effort of love in part for these people. They've really devoted to the work of the radio station.
Yes, these are not wealthy Americans who run this radio station. These are pretty much working class people who felt a need for a radio station on shortwave that would broadcast a message of peace and hope instead of what is usually found on shortwave, which is either government propaganda or some religious message of condemnation. And the founders of Radio for Peace were really very offended by those two kinds of messages on shortwave, and felt a need to do something different. And so Radio for Peace is really a unique component in what makes up the shortwave band today. We have had an internet broadcast as well. However, in about November, I would say, of 2002, the university cut our high-speed internet connection.
Now, was there a reason given when they did that?
No, there wasn't. There was no reason. The eviction notices began about a year ago, and we informed the university after the first eviction notice that, in fact, we own the structures that you're attempting to evict us out of, and thank you, but we aren't moving. We're staying here. And
what was their response when you replied?
Well, their response has been continued hostility. They cut our high-speed internet connection. Our phone lines were, because of the way that the telecommunications up there have evolved, their phone lines and internet connection at the time had been connected with theirs. And at one point they shut off the power to the station.
Life's been made very difficult for operation then.
Well, yeah, it's hard to run a radio station without any power, that's for sure.
And now they have.
It's been very difficult to deal with them. We have had a series of meetings with them over the past year, and what I can tell you about those meetings is that they've been mostly unproductive. The one that I attended myself, which was in November, that's the one I can speak to firsthand, consisted of four representatives from Radio for Peace, myself, the general manager, the program director, and a volunteer. We did not bring an attorney. They brought at least two people who identified themselves as attorneys, and there may have been more, who knows, incognito attorneys, I don't know. The point being that we went to meet with them in good faith, that we would be able to work out some kind of a solution to this. And they came out swinging, so to speak, and were not interested in having any kind of a civilized negotiation. And we ended up pretty much dissolving the meeting and leaving very unsatisfied with what had occurred.
So it would seem at the highest levels a decision has been taken to close down Radio for Peace International.
Well, that in itself is also questionable. What has happened in the last 2.5 weeks is that on the 21st of July, around 12:30 in the afternoon, there appeared the attorney from the university, the in-house attorney from the University for Peace, accompanied by four or five armed guards to deliver a 2-week eviction notice.
Now, it's not, just for our listeners, it's not, whilst Costa Rica's in South America, you don't normally expect to see armed guards at the university. Am I right in saying that?
Well, not at the University for Peace, no. That's actually one of the changes that has been instituted by this latest administration, is the hiring and posting of armed guards at the University for Peace. We find that particularly alarming. And there have also been other policy changes. The number of projects, the Earth Council, for one, has been pretty much removed from the university. People have been fired. There are a number of labor-oriented lawsuits against the university for unlawful firing, firings that people believe are based on political beliefs, you know, people's political views and activities. And so this last eviction notice, which came on the 21st, accompanied by the armed guards, and on the way out of the station, the guards put a chain and a lock on the gate into the station.
Now, had you all managed to get out of the station before they did that?
Well, no. No, in fact, there are people still in the station.
They're still there?
Yes.
2.5 weeks afterwards?
Yes. Yeah, they're still there.
Are they still broadcasting from there?
Oh, yeah. We're very much on the air. 7445 is the frequency, if people want to check us out. And what they'll hear on that broadcast is actually a combination of programs, most of which have to do with peace and social justice. And so, you know, there would be programs about indigenous rights. There would be programs about women's rights. Programs about various racial groups, discrimination, and exposing the kinds of discrimination that go on around the world. There would be programs related to globalization and anti-globalization.
So you cover
That's
both sides of the coin.
The problem is coming in, is that the new administration, headed by Maurice Strong, seems to be very oriented to the corporate sector as opposed to the NGO sector. Many of the council members who were formerly on the council of the university have been replaced by business people, not NGO people or public sector people. And so Radio for Peace is broadcasting programs that are questioning and criticizing things like the World Bank and the International Monetary Fund and the World Trade Organization and other aspects of so-called free trade, free for some people and costly for most, that have been going on around the world.
As Greg Palast, amongst other people, has written about them.
Yeah.
For example, with Argentina and the documents that came out of the World Bank and his talks with Joe Stiglitz, who was the former chief economist for the World Bank.
Exactly, yes.
Which is quite interesting. And for our listeners, if they're interested, Greg Pallister's book, The Best Democracy Money Can Buy, is available from all good bookshops. That will give you more details about other aspects of the World Trade Organization and the World Bank and the IMF that you don't normally read about in the newspapers.
Yeah, and also how the U.S. election was stolen. And so we broadcast programs that expose these kinds of things.
And our listeners might be able to understand that perhaps with these change of positions on the council and now business representatives there instead of NGO representatives, that they might not want to necessarily have that programming carried.
That's possible. We have not been given a reason by the University for Peace for this aggression.
There's never...
I inquired myself at the meeting that I attended, what is the reason that you're doing this? And they would not give a reason. And so, really, with a vacuum of information such as we have, one can only surmise that they're not happy with something that we put on the air, and so they're pursuing this course of aggression. We do view this as a freedom of speech issue and a freedom of the press issue. Costa Rica is a democracy. We have a right, thank you very much, to put this kind of information on the air. And the university does not have the right to dictate to us what we will and will not put on the air.
Now, you also carry a lot of United Nations programming, don't you?
We do. And this is where things get very strange, because in one sense the university is a United Nations mandated institution. On the other hand, it's attempting to shut down the only shortwave station in the hemisphere that broadcasts UN radio, United Nations Daily News, and a whole lot of the weekly programs that come out.
So there is no other station that actually carries some of this programming that is created by the United Nations?
Not where we reach, no. That's correct.
So you have a franchise, effectively, for delivering that information to a particular part of the world?
Well, in effect, I guess you could say that. Although, I suppose you could say that. You know, they pay us airtime, as other programmers do, and we broadcast the Daily News and a number of the weekly programs, Caribbean Magazine and Scope and the Women's Program, and we have a good signal into the Caribbean, so we think that's important.
Yeah.
And so we find a more than a little inconsistency in the notion that this University for Peace, aside from the seemingly the violations to its doctrine and its mission to promote peace around the world, engaging itself in an aggression that would essentially shut down the voice of the United Nations.
It does sound strange that a United Nations affiliated organization is effectively closing down free speech.
Yes,
and
including its own broadcast.
It does sound very strange indeed. One must wonder if perhaps there are more agendas at play here than what we're able to determine at first glance.
Well, one can only speculate. Without being given a reason for why they're doing this, one can only speculate as to what the reasons would be.
Now, what does the University Council have to say about this?
Well, the Council, that's another interesting aspect to this. We have been told that this eviction was a decision of the council. Yet, after the eviction letter of the 21st of July was delivered to us, we did some investigating, in fact, and sent out our own emails notifying the council. It took us a long time to even get the names and addresses of the council members. The university doesn't make that available. And what we found was that substantial numbers of the council members didn't even know about this. And so I don't know how the university can say that this is a council decision when substantial numbers of the council members didn't even know about it. That seems to me to be a misrepresentation of the council. I wouldn't be very pleased if I were a council member of an organization like that and was represented to have made a decision that I didn't even know about.
Mm, so it looks like this misrepresentation of what decision may or may not have been of the council. Do you know if they've even discussed the subject then?
I don't. No, I don't know.
So they may be unaware of your current circumstances, because are these people regularly on campus, or do they come in from time to time, and thus they might not know?
We have made them aware of the situation. They know now.
They know now?
Yes. I don't know what they've known previous to this. That's not information that we have available to us. The operations at the university are very secretive and very difficult to get a handle on what exactly they're doing.
It's not what you did.
Another aspect of this is that the letter that was delivered on the 21st of July was signed by the in-house attorney of the university. It was not signed by any of the staff or counsel. And so, in fact, we don't consider that notice to be legitimate.
Perhaps more of a scare tactic.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's intimidation. It's you know. What has happened late last week is that for the first week and a half of since the eviction notice was delivered, the guards were patrolling the gate intermittently. But last Thursday afternoon, they moved to a position right outside the front door of the station. And
these are armed guards.
Yes, they are.
Yeah.
And they've been taking notes on people's movements, people's coming and going. In fact, on Monday, our program director was told that she could not enter the station, that she could not go into the station. And fortunately, she she just ignored them and proceeded to go about her work.
Now, if the building is chained up, how does she get in?
She has to slide under the gates.
Slide under the gates?
Yeah.
Into your own building?
Right.
Normal behavior with an organization affiliated to the United Nations and peace and freedom. Chained out of your own building, slide under the fence. Interesting.
One can only speculate.
It just seems to get stranger and stranger. You feel like you're stepping through the looking glass with this whole situation.
Well, but I do think that the university is at least worthy of investigation. One of the complicating factors to this is that the university is actually located on international land.
It's international land?
Yes.
So, was that under a UN protectorate?
I don't know all of the ins and outs of the way that the UN relates to organizations. It's a huge bureaucracy in itself, and so those relationships are unclear to me. But it's a UN-mandated organization, and the land was donated by an individual to the United Nations for use by the university.
Where do you see things going then? Now, to inform our listeners, I've contacted both the University for Peace and the United Nations, and so far I've had no comment on the situation. They seem to be pretending that it's not happening. Where do you see things going? Today's Friday, so as of Monday, what do you see as the plan of action?
Today is Friday, and the original eviction notice was for last Monday, which was what, August 4th, I guess?
The original
eviction notice was for August 4th, which was last Monday as we speak.
You should be gone already. You shouldn't still be there, according to them.
I guess some people could say that. Now, sometime late last week, there was an agreement made between RFPI and the university to hold a negotiation meeting on Monday, August 11th. And that's pretty much what we're focused on right now, is that we can negotiate some kind of, I hate to say a settlement to this, because we're not really interested in moving.
We don't
understand why we should have to move from our own structures.
Well, they haven't explained any transgressions or any justification for anything that they've done.
No, they haven't. One of the things that they do claim is that RFPI owes them $14,000 in payment for some telecommunications infrastructure that the university installed for us. This would be back several years ago. We have a written agreement in which the university agrees that the repayment for that infrastructure would be made in in-kind donations, in other words, airtime or public relations or public service announcements, things that we would do on behalf of the university of a value of $14,000. Now, and so that's in a written agreement between RSPI and the university.
You have the documents.
Yes. Oh, yeah. In addition, the university never followed up on it to tell us what they wanted. They never came to us with a proposal, you know, and said, this is what we want you to do to repay this thing. And we have also never seen receipts from that installation. We don't even know if it really cost $14,000. That's what they're saying. But we don't have any proof of that. We have no evidence or backup or receipts to substantiate that.
But they're now repeating the claim that you owe them $14,000.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Sounds like another possibly an intimidation tactic.
Yeah, I mean, they never came back to us and said, this is what we would like you to do to repay that. And we were perfectly willing at the time to do that. We're not now, for obvious reasons. And, you know, they're asking us to leave our facility, including the equipment that they say that we owe them money for. And it just isn't going to happen.
So if we can just summarize briefly for the listeners, what we have is Radio for Peace International, which owns its own facilities, owns all the equipment, but it's based on a UN property at the University for Peace in Costa Rica. And without justification, without any official explanation, they've decided to evict you. They've chained up the building with people still inside. They're trying to do everything they can to stop you broadcasting, it would seem, for whatever reason. And we're trying to settle the situation right now and get back to broadcasting and get back to the status quo as it was before this all kicked off.
Yeah, well, we are broadcasting. We are on the air, have been on the air since all of, well, we've been on the air for 17 years.
So the efforts to bump you aren't succeeding at the moment.
Oh, no, no.
Now, what can our listeners do to help you, to get behind you and get the word out about this?
Well, there are two things. One of them is to write to Kofi Annan's office and let him know, his office know, that you're not happy with the situation and that an investigation needs to be conducted now, immediately.
And for anyone and listening, you can send an email to Kofi Annan by emailing SG, that's Sierra Gulf, at un.org. That's
right.
SG at un.org.
Right, and there are also some addresses on our website. Our website is www.rfpi.org, and there are some addresses there as well. Another thing that people can do is they can write, they can contribute to our legal fund. We have had to establish a legal fund in order to defend ourselves against this. We've had to retain lawyers in Costa Rica to assist us in this. And the address for the legal fund is, first of all, if you want to contribute just to the legal fund, you would write that on your check, in your check memo. If you want to make a general contribution, then you could just write Radio for Peace International. In other words, you'd write Radio for Peace International, but then underneath it in the memo, you'd write legal fund so that it goes in the right account. The address for that is Radio for Peace International, Post Office Box 3165, Newburgh, N-E-W-B-E-R-G, Oregon, O-R-E-G-O-N, 97132, USA.
And they can find those details on the web as well, can't they?
Yes, they can.
There's other information there, the latest press releases, if you're hearing this,
right.
next week.
Also some Tico Times articles that are there, Tico Times being the English language Costa Rican newspaper.
And they've covered the story in depth.
Yes, they have.
Right.
I don't know if there's an article. Today is Friday. It comes out on Fridays, and so I don't know if there's a Tico Times article today or not. I haven't looked yet.
So you're looking for people to spread the word and get in touch with Kofi Annan and anybody that they can to try and raise coverage of the fact that your radio station, Radio for Peace International, is being closed down, or they're trying to close it down.
Yeah, they're trying to close it down. It isn't being closed down. We're doing everything we can to avoid that happening. They're making it very difficult for us, and their actions, if they are permitted to carry through with their actions, will essentially close it down. And, yeah, we need people to spread the word. We need people to write to the United Nations and to write to the government of Costa Rica and to contact the university, you know, and ask questions. Why are they doing this? We don't know that.
Why are they doing it indeed? It's very strange. For the listeners out there, you might find some interesting articles about Maurice Strong on the internet, who's currently is the president of the university. Is that right, Jean?
Again, I'm not sure all the titles. It tends to get very bureaucratic up there.
I think he might be
title happy, but there's a chancellor and a rector and a vice rector. I think he might be the president of the council.
Yeah, I think he's president of the council. And Maurice Strong, you can find articles out there about him. Maurice Strong he's worked closely with the United Nations over the years. He presided over the Rio Conference for the Environment in 1992, and you can find lots of information out there about him on the internet if you want to look a bit further.
Right.
Okay, well, Jean, thanks for spending some time talking to us about this, and hopefully our listeners will do all they can to help out Radio for Peace International and save the University of Peace from shutting you down.
Thank you for your time, and thank you to your listeners for any help they can give us.
Great, and if they want to get in touch with you,
they should make contact with the radio station. There are some emails provided on the website, and they should make contact with the radio station. The email address is info@rfpi.org.
Okay, so that's...
And they can make contact that way.
So to make contact with Radio for Peace International and get in touch with these guys who are trying to stop their station from being closed down, it's info@rfpi.org.
And that's the email for the radio station.
For the radio station, yeah. And James Latham, who's there.
Correct.
Yeah. And I think they'll welcome all positive comments and all positive action to try and stop the station from being closed down and
yes.
to stop what I would call harassment and intimidation. That's what it looks like to me, from what I've heard.
It's illegal action.
and unjustified.
No jurisdiction to take this radio station off the air.
Okay, well, best of luck with that, Jean.
Thank you very much.
Maybe you'll keep us informed if things happen, whether good or bad, hopefully good.
Certainly.
Great. Well, thanks for talking to us.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.